Blog Talk Radio. coach, you.
That's Randy Runyon over there on the guitar.
Again, you just listened to Animus Rex. We are lucky to have James at our calling into our studio. Mr. Casey, how are you today, sir?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing fine. We are very elated that you have taken the time to call into our station. And, you know, I've talked to you, I guess, on the phone how much that song, I love it, and it really captured a moment for me. So welcome to Is That Jazz Radio, James.
I'm glad to be here. I'm glad to be here. Thank you.
We just have a few questions for you, and I'll get right into them. James, I read where you performed with Trey, Anastasia, and Soul Live and Lettuce. What made you decide to create your own band?
This is the I've had different groups in the past that I was lucky enough to be in the creation process of. I had a band called Six Figures, and we all kind of moved to New York together after we left school in Boston. And when Six Figures got, I mean, we started to gain traction, but everybody in the band, we just kind of like dove off and did other projects and other things. And I want to say about a year and a half ago, I just decided that it's time to do something else. Like, it's time to do the project that I really wanted to do. So I got my friends together, and I explained to them the sound that I was trying to create, that we wanted to go where I wanted to go with it. And my friends are some of the most amazing musicians in the world, and they brought it. And this is what's happening right now.
No question that they bring it, man. You have a very unique sound, and how would you describe your sound? It's like you wanted to marry live instruments with electronic music. Just what did you mean when you say that?
Okay, so while I was playing with Lettuce and Soul Live, I would go to all these festivals and play, and that's where I got introduced to most of my electronic music that I know about right now, and I loved it. I loved it, but in a lot of electronic stuff that's happening, it misses the element of live for me, because I come from a background of live instrumentation. I play the saxophone and I play a lot of different instruments. So, excuse me, I wanted to marry the two things in relation with, I mean, and adding everything else that I love, I mean, every other part, every other type of music that I love, which includes gospel, jazz, funk, everything. So I just wanted to put them all together.
Okay. And how has that experience, how has that been received by, I guess, the audience out there? What kind of feedback have you received from them?
Everybody who's heard it loves it. It's kind of amazing. I'm still kind of shocked at how well received our music is. I'm kind of a pessimist when it comes to music, of my own music, and I just think everybody's going to hate it, but people love it, and I'm just really happy about that. I was talking to a friend of mine today about that, and it's a beautiful thing to see. So I just hope it just keeps going with all of our new stuff that we're doing.
That's real cool. James, what were some of your musical influences?
Me personally, I grew up listening to gospel. My mom was a pastor, so I grew up straight listening to gospel. And then, I guess around 8, 9 or so, I found my dad's old radio, and I was just listening to hip hop from then on until I got to college. And then once I got to college, I went to a school called Berklee College of Music up in Boston, and there I dove into jazz. And then after that, I dove into rock, and then I dove into everything. And now I am listening to a whole lot of the electronic music that comes out of the UK. Shout out to Ruben Kaner, the bass player from Animus Rex. He's always sending me new things, new music, new electronic artists to listen to. And yeah, that's I try to put it all. We all try to put it all together and into the soup of Animus Rex.
It's really a unique sound. And several of the artists that we've interviewed, we've come to learn here at the station that it's important to have a team around you that shares your mission, particularly when you're trying to, you know, like break ground or present something new to the audience at large. Can you mention something about your team and your support? Are you signed to a label? Are you independent?
As of right now, we're not signed to any label. And my team, they're my band members. They're my team. We're all in this together. We're all trying to push this music forward. I also have a friend of mine who helps with certain things. Her name is Margaret Willard. She's out of Carolina. But outside of that, it's just us, and we're just trying to push it forward, trying to make moves and get our music out to as many people as we possibly can.
That's great. Listen, I have my program director, Ebony Zudi, on the line, and she would like to ask you at least one question, too. Would that be okay, James?
That's fine, of course.
Okay. Ebony, hello.
Hey, how you doing, Tracy? How you doing, James?
I'm well.
I was just listening to Time Lapse, and, I mean, that's like one of my favorite songs right now. I was like, whoa, I know you called the band a mix of soul, rock, electro, and blues in a blender with hot sauce and bourbon. Like, that's exactly what I hear when listening to Time Lapse. What is that contraption that you are playing? What is that? And how did you guys come up with Time Lapse? Like, it's a crazy instrumental. I actually started reciting one of my poems, actually singing one of my poems to it. And I think I might use that once I get permission from you guys. But how did you guys come up with that, and what is that contraption that you're using?
Okay, what I'm using is a linear wave sampler. It's a SP-404SX by Roland. And it's basically Ruben and I, we take samples from different things. Sometimes it's us, sometimes it's from different songs or different sounds or whatever, and while we're writing the songs, and then we place them into the sampler so I can use it live. I mean, I use that instead of like an Ableton Live rig, just because it's a bit easier in terms of I don't have to worry about my computer dying or crashing or anything like that. It's just in one piece. And how we came up with the song, Yuki Hirano, Big Yuki, he was playing this thing one day.
Yeah, he's awesome on the keys.
Yeah, he's scary. I mean, the band in itself, I mean, everybody in this band, they are monsters of whatever instrument they're playing. They're all friends of mine from school. And he was just playing this thing one day. He was just playing it one day, and then we just kind of came up with something behind it. And we wrote to it, and then that's what it is.
Okay, well, that was my only question. I think you guys are awesome. I just, put game onto you guys, and I'm going to be definitely following you guys and checking you guys out, because I think you're definitely very diverse, and I think you all are awesome in your craft and what you do.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. And
no
yes,
problem.
Of course, you can use it for your poem. Absolutely, absolutely.
Thank you. Now, we have this recorded, so so you know.
Yeah.
Thank you, Ebony.
Thank you, Trey.
James, how does it, when you perform live using, electronic instruments, so to speak, how does the audience grasp onto that? Like, what kind of feedback or, what do you think is going through their heads when they see you come on live and with this unique sound?
Well, a lot of the people who come to our shows, at least in the beginning, they knew me from Trey Anastasio's band, or from Lettuce, or from Soul Live, or from something else, or they knew Yuki from Talib's band, or they knew us from other things. So when they see us, they really don't know what to expect. And once the first song starts, they realize what they're in for. And I mean, all the feedback I've gotten has been great. I mean, because it is such a shock when they first hear it. the initial reaction is when I see, like when you look in the crowd, they're just kind of like staring at you. But by the time like the third song hits, they're just dancing, and that's all I really want. I want everybody to dance.
So you want the crowd to get up and move, and
absolutely,
your sound would
absolutely
definitely make it. What goes into the creative process? Like, I've talked to a number of artists, and they take their creation from their travels or observing the things that are around them. When you and your band sit back to make the album, that the CD that's out now, or any future CDs, or the ones in the past, where do you get that creative spark from?
It depends on the song. Each song comes from a different place for a different person. We sometimes write as a group, and we sometimes write individually. So I can't speak for everyone on the individual stuff, but when we write as a group, we literally just sit in a room together and come up with different ideas. We're so diverse in where we come from in the band. I mean, it's when we get into a room, it's kind of, I'll be honest, man, it's something that I haven't really experienced before. Every single time that we've gotten in the room to like come up with something, we've come up with things. Like after a rehearsal the other day, before one of our shows, the bass player, the keyboard player, and I, we just sat for like an extra 30 minutes and just came up with two or three new songs. Or at least the basic parts of two or three new songs. And that doesn't happen very often, man. I'll be honest with you. It doesn't happen very often. It doesn't happen in a lot of different scenarios. But with this scenario, it's just a lot of fun.
It really sounds like your band is more of a family, where you guys, everyone has like an equal voice or some voice in the process. And I agree, that's
absolutely
not too often. Yeah. That's
absolutely
not too
especially
often.
Especially in the creative process. I mean, I don't have all the ideas. I don't have all the answers. And I picked the people to play in this band because of what they would bring to the table. I mean, it wasn't just like, oh, hey, you want to come play? No, I had in mind exactly who I wanted to play with because of, you know, who they are and what they can do and what I know them to do. So the sum of all parts is way more than what it should be.
How was it performing at Rockwood? Like, what was that experience like?
Rockwood is fun, man. I love those guys. I've been playing when I first moved to New York. I used to play there a lot with a group that I was in. I used to play with this guy named Tim Blaine. He's a pop rock singer, and
mm-hmm.
I used to play there a lot with him. And because of that, I grew to have a relationship with the owner. And when I approached him about my band playing there, he was all for it because he didn't know what to expect. They didn't know what to expect, but they knew me from different projects, and they knew me. They know what I had done with different projects or whatever. And they gave me a night. They said, "Do you?" And I'll always, you know, appreciate and big up Rockwood because they've definitely helped me out many times. I like Rockwood.
Go ahead. I'm sorry, James.
No, it's cool.
One of my favorite videos, you're like over a rooftop. Where was the location of that video when you guys were, it really looked interesting, and it kind of just, it gave me a real cool feeling about the band, like you were connected with your audience and your followers. Where was that video shot?
That was on a rooftop in Brooklyn on July 4th, I think it was 2.5 years ago. That was our second show ever. That was the second time we'd ever played. And that's when we realized we had something because people loved it.
Oh, yeah, it was just a great video. The theme itself was, you know, it was real intimate. So that was your first, you said that was your first time, like, performing live?
That was our second time performing live. That was our second show ever.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, we were booked like at the last second, and they didn't know what to expect, and they just let us come and play. They're like, okay, yeah, whatever, some band's gonna come play, and it was fun. Let's put it that way. It was a lot of fun.
You know, we had on our show an artist by the name of Jeff Bradshaw, and he talks about his big break and being prepared for it. So I think it's important that I'm a teacher by trade, and so I always tell my students that when preparation means opportunity, that's success. So would you agree with that theory?
Absolutely. Absolutely. For what we do individually in our group, we are absolutely proficient, extremely proficient on all of our instruments. We all went to school up at Berkeley together, and we all continuously pursue, you know, mastery of our own instruments and mastery of our own, of our art. So, absolutely. And as far as everything else is concerned, you've got to get the right people in the right positions. And then it seems like once that happens, then whatever opportunities come your way, and if you're able to act upon them, then that's how it seems to work. I'm not 100% sure, but that's how it seems to work.
Well, judging by your sound, it's working well. And at this moment, I have to take out a moment and shout out Aaron, because he was the one that sent me your music. He was like, Trace, listen to this. And, you know, I bragged and, you know, put your one suspended animation on the air. And Aaron was like, that's my cousin. And I was like, oh, okay. So shout out to Aaron. What can we expect in the future? Can you give us some tour dates or a new CD that's in the works?
I can't give you tour dates, but I can say we literally just recorded a live in studio. We recorded live in studio, I guess a live in studio concert that we're going to use more than likely as our first real EP. So that's hopefully that'll come out sometime in the summer. It all depends on a couple of things, but the summer's looking like when we're going to make a push for that.
Okay. We have a few callers, so I would just like them to know if you wanted to join in a conversation while we still have Jeff on the line, just press 1 on your dial, and we'll bring you into the conversation. Jeff, we created Is That Jazz Radio really for one reason, because we wanted independent artists with a unique sound to be able to be listened to. What's your thoughts about radio and the industry now when, you know, bands like yourself have a different, honest, unique approach and actually being, you know, making these strict program guidelines on regular radio?
All right, sorry, you're asking me?
Yes, I'm asking you.
Oh, well, I'm sorry. I thought you were talking to Jeff. My bad. I appreciate it. Because with radio, with mainstream radio, they're all owned mostly by the same one company, and they have the things that they have to play, and they just continuously play them over and over, over and over again. So the fact that you all have, I mean, that there's this platform for new music, for other stuff, for maybe not as popular music to get listened to by the masses or even anybody, it's a beautiful thing. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, we call our station Anti-Pigeonhole Music and Culture. That's the subtext, and that came out of a conversation I had with Robert Glasper at the Blue Note one night. But we do have a question from one of our callers, so can I bring them on, James?
Sure.
Okay. Hello, welcome to Is That Jazz Radio. Can you state your name and your question and where you're calling from?
This is Aaron Smith, calling from Philadelphia.
What's up?
How's everybody doing?
yep, it's me.
Oh man, what's going on, man?
Not too much, man. I'm happy for you. I'm glad what you're doing. We need more, cause you know I want to get to one of the shows at some point. I was eyeing that one on Sunday, but I couldn't really make it up there with the two little ones.
But
we need more, because your band sound, that's the sound that I've been looking for a long time. You know, the groups that I listen to, like the ones that can fuse a lot of different elements together, like that's the Aaron Smith sound that he loves to hear.
Nice.
So, definitely looking for more. Appreciate what you're doing. Proud of you, and good to hear from you.
You too, cousin. We'll make it out to Philly soon enough, definitely.
All right.
All right, man.
Aaron, thanks for calling. I have a math issue that I need to get in touch with you about, so I'll talk to you a little bit later, okay?
Hey, all right. All right.
Okay, thanks for calling, man.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, James, at one time, Aaron and I, we taught at the same school, and we used to have some very interesting conversations. So, you know, shout out to Aaron for, you know, turning me on to your music. And keeping the theme with the children, what would you tell a young artist today that didn't want to compromise, wanted their sound to be heard, and would have to face the inevitable obstacles because of that?
If they have their own sound and they want to be heard and don't want to compromise, I would say you got to stick to your guns, and you have to know what you're doing. I mean, a lot of people, I remember back when I was, you know, young playing jazz, a lot of people would say that they were doing their own thing. But it wasn't necessarily that they were doing anything good. They were just not practicing, you know.
Right.
Or they didn't work hard enough to get to where they were trying to go, so they were just halfway do it. You got to own your stuff, but you have to be proficient in what you're doing. That's what I would say. Once you're there, you got to own it. You got to let everybody know that you're doing it. And that's where I am right now, just letting everybody know that this is what's happening. This is what I'm doing. If you like it, that'd be great. If you don't like it, that's fine. But you got to own it.
Okay. Well, we're going to feature your music this Saturday and Sunday on our radio station. We'll, you know, definitely broadcast the times and, you know, and present your music to our audience. But can you share with our audience any links or anything where they could find more about this incredible music that your band is putting out?
Absolutely. We're on Twitter and Facebook. It'd be facebook.com/ Animus Rex. And that's Animus, A-N-I-M-U-S, Rex, R-E-X-X. There's two X's. We're on there. We're on SoundCloud. And everything will be updated constantly and consistently. And I can't wait to get you all to this new music that we have coming out for you.
Well, we definitely appreciate you taking the time to come on our station. James, can you stay on the line? But we're going to end our broadcast. I'm sorry, man. I just love that song, Suspended Animation. I'm going to have to play it again. It's so nice I have to play it. It really captured the moment when I actually met someone back in October, and I just played it over. I was walking out the house, Suspended Animation. It kind of, you know, brought a very great start to my morning. So, folks, it's so nice we're going to play it twice. James, just stay on the line for a minute. There's a question I want to ask you, and thank you for coming on our show.
Thank you.
Runyon over there on the guitar.
Hello, once again, Ebony. How are you?
I'm good, Trace. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Once again, your cracked station manager here just messed things up. I was speaking to you, and I wasn't on the air, but I was letting our audience know you have a program update, so can you give that to us, please?
Yes. I just wanted to let everyone know, thank you for tuning into Catharsis this Sunday that just passed. And if you would like to listen to a rebroadcast, please go to Is That Jazz Radio and click the Catharsis link. We will be having this Sunday at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Brother Sheikh Maher Tariq Bey of the Morris Science Temple of America here in Delaware, number 64. We will be bringing this brother on, and he will be talking about nationality. And hopefully you'll tune in. Like I said, 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time this Sunday, April 12th.
Cool. And, folks, if you haven't listened to our Catharsis program, you should, because Ebony has a wide range of guests with almost every topic from health to music to science. And we are definitely blessed to have her as our program director. And given the mistakes that I often make on the air, maybe she can be the station manager too. But, you know, we thank before like, for real, you guys don't know what goes on in the background. But, Ebony, thank you. And thank you for your crack question once again. And, folks, we're going to end the show off with, I don't know the name of the song because when I loaded it, I forgot to put the name. So let's just see what comes up. Ebony, I'll talk to you soon.
All right.
It's obvious now that jazz is the most central and important thing in my life. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Is That Jazz Radio. We appreciate the time that you took to spend with us this afternoon. Have a great day, and we'll talk to you soon. Thank you.